This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Markets don't seem too worried about Trump's proposed tariffs. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. President Trump is, so far, holding firm on his plan to impose tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum, in spite of efforts from within his own party and administration to convince him to back off. But despite a sharp plunge on the day Trump announced those tariffs, markets have sort of seemed to shrug. Here with us to discuss market reaction is Lindsay Piegza. She's chief economist and managing director at Stifel Nicolaus. Lindsay, why do you think we aren't seeing stronger market reaction to these tariffs and possible retaliation from trading partners?
It's really hard to say whether or not the president will follow through with his latest proposal. After all, fair trade and a level playing field with international partners, this is something the president has been talking about for years. But that being said, the reaction to his latest tariff proposal has been very broadly negative, with domestic producers or users of aluminum and steel voicing concerns over both rising prices and reduced access to materials, while leaders abroad have threatened retaliation. And even the president's own economic advisor, Gary Cohn, he's now arranged for the president to sit down face-to-face with a number of domestic business leaders this week who will be adversely affected by the tariff proposals in an attempt to sway the president. So I don't know if the market is reacting to the negative pressure or if they're simply discounting the president's resolve to follow through with the latest tariff proposal.
And yet we heard from President Trump that he was committed to these tariffs again yesterday, even after House Speaker Paul Ryan criticized the move. You think this could be more of a negotiation strategy, especially as the administration works to revise NAFTA?
This may be used as a bargaining chip or even a little bit of a bluff to try to convince some international leaders to adhere to the requirements in terms of NAFTA or maybe even rejoining TPP.
Okay, Lindsay Piegza with Stifel Nicolaus, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
The U.S. has actually been here before. Not too long ago, back in 2002, President George W. Bush imposed a 30% tariff on steel. How did that go? Christine McDaniel was a White House trade economist under George W. Bush.
So when President Bush decided to go ahead with the steel tariffs, steel prices went up, and many of these American manufacturers are so small they cannot pass the price increases on to their customers, and they can't absorb the price shock either. So they closed up shop, they went offshore. You saw that more people in the steel consuming industries lost their jobs that then existed in the entire steel industry itself.
Christine McDaniel is now a fellow at the Mercatus Center. President Bush, by the way, lifted those steel tariffs after a little more than a year and a half. Recently, United Airlines announced it would replace bonuses for employees who hit certain performance targets with a lottery system for cash and prizes. Well, employees were not happy about that, and boy, did they make it known. So the airlines now said it's pressing pause on that plan. As online shopping grows, so does the retail shipping industry. And that has engineers scrambling to make package design more efficient to reduce shipping costs and material waste. Christian Schwab looks at what retailers are doing to decrease the number of half-empty boxes they ship.
Anema Package and Container Testing is in a small warehouse just outside New York City. It's full of strange metal machines that evaluate retail shipping design. Step one, the drop test.
Then edge 2-3.
Next up is a 2.5-hour delivery test on a platform that gyrates to simulate driving.
The way it goes, you see, these are the G-forces.
Then it's back to the drop test.
And then we have flat on panel three.
Anama owner Anton Kotaj says if this sounds like overkill, think again.
So it was determined that an average package is being dropped about 17 times.
17 times. That's why retailers ship stuff in oversized boxes with lots of padding.
That'll be the safest way. But of course, that's not a sustainable way.
That's Hai Chung Cha, who directs the package engineering program at Rutgers University. He says customers are getting vocal about their shipping waste guilt. And big boxes aren't efficient for retailers either.
If you have empty space in the box, you're shipping air.
Air-filled boxes mean UPS and FedEx could be squeezing more into their trucks. Now, they're pressuring retailers to fix the problem by charging by weight and volume. But engineering a new package for every product takes time. And Kara Hurst, head of sustainability at Amazon, says some are just plain awkward to ship. Top of the list?
Spray top bottles can get broken in shipment.
Then there's all that clunky display packaging, which looks nice at a store, but doesn't serve a purpose online.
We're also looking at how we work with vendors and think about how they can just prepare the products and that those products can ship in their own container.
And some shipping experts are starting to think ahead to the days when drones are delivering our stuff. But of course, that would require a whole new level of testing. In New York, I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Finally, McDonald's announced today that you can now get a fresh beef patty in your Quarter Pounder at more than 3,500 of its locations, which may prompt the question, what were these patties before, if not fresh? The answer is frozen. The Wall Street Journal reports it's up to franchisees to decide whether to charge more for the fresh beef burgers. The company says this is the biggest change since going to all-day breakfast. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.